The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, we actually started off pretty random. We had no direction.
Not at all.
With this episode.
Just had some serious
these are my favorite
unicorn
kind.
Penetration. That's
we had
all.
Some we had some good
wow.
Some good conversation in the beginning, had some fun.
Glitter flying.
But then we got into a great topic. We talked about unilateral training.
Oh, unilateral, that's what it was.
Yeah, my bad.
Not unicorn.
Yeah, so we were talking about training one side of the body, the benefits of doing it that way and why or how that can contribute to gains.
So we got something for you.
So here's what we did. We actually made a unilateral training mod or workout. So you don't even have to have a MAPS program, but if you do, you can insert it in your MAPS program. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you could just do this workout. It's all unilateral style training. We have a bodybuilding style workout. We have a functional style workout. And then we have a bodyweight style workout.
Totally free.
It's completely free. So it's for everybody. You can get it. All you got to do is go www.mindpumpmedia.com/P/free. You got to type all that in.
P okay? For free. Yeah.
So again, it's www.mindpumpmedia.com/P/free and get your free unilateral training guide.
Don't forget the WWWs.
Yeah, if you don't do that, for some reason, Facebook won't let you
share.
Well,
we'll also
it.
Have a link in the show notes, so and then we'll try to make sure we time a post. I will on my Instagram, too, to make it easier for people. For some reason, when we do the free thing and we have to do the / bullshit, it makes it harder. It's actually easier to buy something than it is to give something for free.
Let's all get unilateral together.
Unibrow. Let's all find an old school song. Here, I'm going to play one for you. It's going to take you back.
What?
It's just a song that is going to take you back, bro. I want you to tell me.
I'm terrible at this game.
No. You'll know this one.
I don't know.
You'll know this one. Knowing you and the kind of cars you like to drive or you used to like to drive, Asa. Just listen.
Did we already start?
No, just listen, dude. Let's see if you remember this.
I turn my ear into the microphone.
Huh? I can't. Turn it up, man.
Hold on. You remember that shit?
I know that song, but what's it from?
But what does that take you back, dude?
Yeah. Well, it does take me back.
It does, doesn't it?
It reminds me of people like skating. You know what I mean?
Bro, this is the... Okay.
Like roller skating?
Oh, that's right. Did you guys ever do that?
Roller rink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you ever go to Aloha?
Did you go to roller rinks? Dude, that was the
thing.
We
had one here.
That's like a dying thing now.
First of all, I did go, but second of all, I just want you guys to envision me on roller skates.
I don't want to just
get a video.
I don't want to just envision. I want to have Taylor put that together.
No.
You just gave us a brilliant idea.
You did just give us
I'm
a brilliant
I'm going to twist something. I'm old,
Sal, dude. He answers questions on roller skates.
We are going to get Taylor to do that. Because you know what? He was just... Oh, this is a brilliant
this
idea.
This is so good.
This is so good.
We just did the ice bath challenge. Might as well do the roller skate challenge.
Have you guys ever... Well, you know how to roller skate really well.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
He does.
Nah. Yeah, I think he was on a roller... I think he was on a roller ring team.
I could do some triple luxes.
Of course you want to do this because you're going to be fucking awesome. Because
he's a hokey-pokey master.
How about this? I'll do it if... I answer questions, but Justin has to do analogies.
Oh my God. All day. Got this.
Like water and ramps?
Yeah, it's like water. It's like ramping up.
Bro, like water and ramps?
Filling up a bucket of water.
Yeah. I hope that episode airs.
What I want is to like put a post out and like just have like some weird image. Yeah, and then be like, you guys need to explain what I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. because I want to know.
You know what's crazy is we are sitting here with you, so I get to see your hand gestures. So you're actually building the story and analogy with your hands while you're talking, and I still couldn't put it together. So imagine the people listening.
Oh, God.
I started out with an idea, and then the idea turned into nothing. Like, it didn't make sense.
It was just, you were telling this analogy that not wasn't like it was hard to understand, or you're trying to.
No, it just didn't. It didn't like.
It was
work.
Literally. It was literally it, like me
it,
saying
it
like.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it's like me saying like, well, if you add 5 plus purple, you get a triangle. Like it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't.
Why, man?
None of it.
5 plus purple.
None of it
but,
connected.
You know, it was bad.
Well, I had just got done. Giving up, I thought a pretty good analogy or a pretty good example of what we were talking about, and Justin's you know, it reminds me of this analogy.
I was working on this analogy.
Yeah, working
in
on this
my
analogy.
Head, and
it looks kind of like this.
Flesh it out, yet.
Bro.
Raindrops and ramps, and then water.
This is what happens. Yeah. This is what happens when you deal with creativity. Creative people,
it comes out.
They either fucking hit a home run,
or
it's some shit that makes no sense,
or we get like ejected.
You know, remember when we were creating Prime and we were writing out the program.
Yeah.
And then Justin got, for some reason, for like an hour, he got really focused on what the compass should look like.
Yeah, very focused on the compass. Like that consumed me. And I was like trying to make it work. And then I realized later, I was like, this isn't working. I'm losing the guys right now. It makes so much sense, but I can't put it on paper.
But we needed
it. So frustrating.
But we needed it. We needed it. It's all part of the process, dude.
Yeah.
We have a compass in there. So
I had to get out all the spider webs.
Still part of it.
It was. So you guys did that, huh? You guys did the roller skating in the rinks and stuff with the girls and the whatever.
A little bit. I mean, I ate shit. I wasn't like awesome, you know. But we could do like a train where
you never went through a rollerblade kick at all? You didn't do that?
No, I didn't roll. You rollerbladed?
I did.
Did you really?
I did.
Can I?
I only
you?
Did for hockey,
bro.
Inline hockey.
You gotta do rollerblades then. I gotta see that, dude.
I mean, if you roller skate, I'll rollerblade 100%.
Oh my God, we are doing this.
I'm not afraid.
But you guys, I know I'm gonna get hurt.
No. We'll pad you.
Okay,
all up.
Okay, I'll unicycle.
Okay.
How about
that?
We gotta even the playing field.
We'll get knee pads.
I'll try and unicycle. Probably be just as bad as
no. Yours. Don't put too many pads on me, because then Justin's gonna be like, it's open season to fucking tackle him.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
See?
Oh my God, can we do roller derby? No.
See what I mean?
Mind pump,
fuck some people.
Mind pump's not big enough. We don't have insurance for us yet, so
I'm gonna hit people over that rail.
Was that like a big thing when you guys were kids? For like, where you want to go?
That was
hang
like
out?
The spot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In Santa Cruz, they had a place.
In Scotts Valley, there was like a rink. They turned into a library now, but yeah, that used to be like the happening spot.
Dude, wasn't there a nightclub in Santa Cruz downtown? But it was for like 16 and up or something.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Yeah, that was on the boardwalk.
Yes.
Yeah. What was that called?
That's right.
We went there for like one of our proms when I was like a freshman.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of
it. I remember that. Yeah. I remember going there. And then there was a nightclub that was 18 and over in San Jose. I think it was called The Edge. Is that, do you guys that ring a bell to you guys?
Yeah.
You know, I came later, right? So I didn't come until I was 19 here. That sounded bad.
So I was ready to hit the clubs.
I didn't get to San Jose until I was 19 here. So that was, I think, when I got here, the
you guys were just in barns and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, house parties thing. No, we roller skating, I mean, rollerblading just came on the scene when I was a kid, right? So it was a cool thing to do like at that time, right? It was like,
that's how old we are, by the way. Like, we're old enough now to like see something come into style and out of style.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was a thing for a hot minute. I mean, like,
nobody does it anymore.
No. In fact, actually, you know, it's funny, the guy who I competed with, Devin Linder, Tatted Muscle, I actually just saw him do him and his girlfriend rollerblade. And he just looks funny on rollerblades because he's massive, right?
That's
he's a
weird,
big
yeah.
old huge muscly guy. And it was funny because I was like, man, I used to rollerblade too. So he was like Olympic ice skater.
Yeah,
so kind of
fun.
Sense, right?
Yeah.
So he was like a badass.
He was an Olympic ice skater?
Yeah, I think he went to the Olympics. And if he didn't go, I know he was like right there. I heard an interview he did one time and they talked about that he's trained for the Olympics.
That just sounds to me like you would never, there's no crossover, because like ice skating is more graceful and like you don't necessarily develop massive muscles. Or was he like a speed skater?
Yeah, he was a speed skater.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Those guys are
fast
fucking
muscle. Like,
have you
crazy.
Seen those guys' legs?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Some of the
impressive.
Some of the most muscular legs I've ever seen in my life were not on bodybuilders. They were on some of these speed skaters and
the speed cyclists.
Yes, yeah, dude.
The do those racing or on the track. Yeah. Oh,
their legs get massive.
Those guys have massive legs.
Yeah, those short bursts like that. Yeah, he's got pretty good sized legs. I mean, obviously he's not doing that anymore, but yeah, I saw a post of him rollerblading. It reminded me that, like, you know, I'm trying to remember how old I was. It was before high school, maybe like right to high school is probably when I stopped. So like all through like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. That was like when it was, you know, rollerblading came in, snowboarding, then wakeboarding. Like I did all that. So, yeah. And that, like, when a new sport, a new extreme type of sport came out, you know, my buddies and I always tried it.
I rode a scooter.
You rode a scooter.
I did. That's about the only
little Vespa.
No. Like a kick scooter.
Like a kick scooter. Okay.
This is before Razor.
The training wheel.
Before Razors were invented. Yeah. These were scooters with tires.
Wow.
Remember
that's
those?
That was a really funny thing that and it's still kind of popular, are those little scooters, because I feel like there's less cool.
Yeah, they're easy.
They're so little.
Yeah, like skateboarders hate those things. You know, they go to the skate parks now and they're like doing their little shitty kick flip thingy.
Oh, and with the Razor?
Yeah, the Razor.
That's kind of cheating, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just like hits you in the ankle really hard. Have you seen those videos like people make where when it hits them in the ankle, they're like, oh. Yeah. Oh, it's so funny.
There's kids that are like hardcore into that. Like that's a whole like... That's a whole thing where they're
it doesn't take any talent.
And, yeah, I saw two guys that looked like were in high school that rolled up with them somewhere and they parked them and they're like all like gunmetal and they were all done, all fucking tricked out and shit. Like,
is it really a thing?
Oh, it's like
yeah. They're all over those skate parks and like skateboarders.
It's a major thing.
Don't like it.
And it was one of those things that when it first started, I remember when it came on scene because my little brother was in junior high. And he got one, and I remember thinking, like, that is such a stupid little toy that's never going to last.
It took off.
And it did take off.
It went crazy.
Well, they're smooth. If you ride them, you can cruise forever on them. Mm-hmm. They're super
my
easy
son
to
loves
maneuver.
It. Yeah.
I love them, dude. I'll take my kids, and I'll go down, like, a hill or something and just...
See, I'm too tall for them. So I have to hunch over.
I break them.
I'm serious. Yeah. Like they're not built for me. You hit over 6'3".
So I bought one for adults. I actually have.
You bought one for adults. Yes, I've been using my kids in the.
It's got like a bigger wheel in the front and the back, and they're fucking great, dude.
That's awesome.
You have one?
I can go pretty fast.
Oh my
that's
God.
Funny because I've been really wanting to buy like a BMX, like old school, like you know the ones that you can do like jumps and stuff, like the freestyle ones.
Yeah.
Like I really like for Christmas, like. That's what I want because
really?
Yeah, because they have all these like cool little like
too big.
Parks for kids to go on.
You're too big.
Well,
no,
but they have like adult like small ones.
So so my buddy Justin and I like when we lived together, he had one that he tricked all out. Like we dumped like another grand into this thing to make it custom for a big body, so you can ride these 50s. And we used to fart around on that thing. That was a blast.
Yeah.
So you had to change the suspension out. You had to do some different work on the handlebars so your knees can go up and ride. But we used to ride the.
Are you talking about the legit motorized?
Yeah, legit 50s that we used to soup up and we used to mash around. That was a cool thing for a while there to be like oversized and doing
crazy.
Yeah, and using the 50s all jacked up and stuff.
What's the hardest you guys have ever bailed on something like that? Do you have any stories?
I endoed so hard. My whole face like scraped on this like asphalt.
How old were you?
I was like. Probably 10 or 11, something like that.
Fuck.
Just destroyed my face.
Two ER trips and knocked out in extreme sport stuff. So I've been knocked out from wakeboarding. I've been
ER. From wakeboarding?
Yeah,
the water?
What, dude?
Oh yeah,
the water is fucking worse than
you guys
snow
have to break this down for me because I've never.
Oh, if you land wrong
when
smack,
and especially when you're moving at a high speed like that, the water's like concrete.
Yeah.
So
really, you feel it? Because I know that you see people bounce off the water, but that's what it feels like. It feels like you hit the ground.
Yeah. So I was attempting what they call a tantrum, which is like an open backflip on a wakeboard, and I throw upside down, let go of my handle, so I'm completely bailed upside down, and I get parallel to the water, and I just come smack
on
my
back and your head.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Flat on the water, and I was out for just a short while. Like I came to when the boat came around to pick me up. I have a life jacket on, so I was totally. Fine.
Holy shit.
But I completely went black and all I remember was like the guys trying to fish me out of the water and I was like, oh, came to. So that was, but it hurt a little, but not that bad. It was more being knocked out and my bell rung. I had a massive headache and shit afterwards. I crashed. I hit a half pipe one time on the snowboard and I bombed. I was like one of those ones where I was like, I'm doing this all out. And like, if you've ever done like tabletops, half pipes, one of the things you don't want to do when you do big tricks like that is to half-ass them, because they're designed
to get over them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're designed to bomb them. Like, you can't hit a tabletop and not hit a tabletop all the way, or you'll land on the hard part of it. You need to hit it hard so you clear it all the way. Same thing for like a half pipe. You got to get all the way up the half pipe. You got to have some speed. So I'm like balls to the wall. I hit this half pipe that's, I don't know, a good probably 12, 15 feet high, so taller than the ceiling, right? And it shoots me up another 10 feet in the air. Same thing there. I get parallel, and then I come down right on the edge of the top of the half pipe, right on my tailbone. So
that's the one you said where your leg went numb.
No, that was another. That was when I was riding an ATV, and I was hitting a tabletop jump on a motorcycle.
Oh, that was
dirt
that.
Bike, right? On a quad.
Jesus.
Hit that, and that started a barrel
roll.
Dude,
it's inevitable with these extreme sports.
Yeah, if you're really into this stuff, that's just all it is.
You just know you're going
to
get hurt.
Makes me
those
wonder.
Are my worst ones. I got tons of crashes. Know, those are just the bad ones. Yeah, I actually went to the hospital.
Fingers. I broke my right arm twice the same year.
Really? See, yeah. I've never broken a bone. I've dislocated my knee. On my bike, I was riding down a hill going too fast and ended up just riding down the freaking middle bar the whole way down. Smashed up my nuts a little bit, but nothing like your guys' story. Probably because I wasn't doing crazy shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, like, because there's definitely some character building that goes through that process.
Absolutely.
The fear, then the getting the courage back and strengthening yourself. Kids don't go out as much nowadays. I wonder how much of a role that plays in.
This is why I was so connected to the book Rise of Superman, because in Rise of Superman, they talk a lot about extreme sports and all this, and I connected so much to that and understanding that flow state and understand what that's like to get into that when you're feeling a rhythm to where almost everything slows down for you. Like, I could totally connect.
Because like when we were kids, they actually sold, or you made them yourself, ramps you would put in the street, and you're 8, 9 years old, you guys would go jump the ramp, and that's what you did. I'd never see that anymore.
Yeah, I'll bring these in. Don't let me forget. I still have this. I have photos of me doing that when I'm in fourth grade and jump in and this is back when, remember the cameras, where you have to put the cameras in, and they only get 12 exposures or whatever and then you
12 flashes.
Yeah, 12 flashes. So we would lay under the ramp, and the other guy would jump over the top of him and take pictures of the bottom. So I got all these pictures of like the bottom of a tire.
Trying to
and
be
stuff.
Like Thrasher or whatever those magazines were at
saying?
The time.
Like, we're idiots. And, I'm like literally rocking MC. I have MC Hammer pants on, right? So I have the Velcro.
Zubaz.
I have
the Zubaz pants, bro.
If you remind me when I'm
home.
I
had some fishbone ones.
It's a really, really, I think I even have like a turtleneck tucked in there.
The turtleneck and the shitty perm front. Like I had this, I would curl like a huge wave in the front of my head like this.
And then wear hat.
And I would I would have like hairspray and be like, whoosh, and my hat would go on top of
like
the huge wave.
You
remember. That was like a total look.
I have a fifth grade picture where I'm wearing a hat my mom was so pissed, dude.
That's great.
My mom's like, you wore your hat in your fucking portrait.
Yeah, bro, you can see my hair.
Oh, she was so pissed at me because I wore my hat in my fifth grade
portrait. Dude, I got a haircut where I bought mousse. This is when I first started putting shit in my hair, and I just spiked the fuck out of it, but it's like spiked everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a porcupine.
It's not like straight up. It's like a ball.
Oh,
And then
a helmet.
And then to make matters worse, I'm like, what do I do with the front of my hair? So I gave myself bangs, dude.
Good call.
It was fucking horrible.
Spiky with a little bit of party.
I didn't even get it back then. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was still didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Yeah. And it was kind of hard to fuck it up back then. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I did. I had the bangs and shit going on in the front.
That's great.
But back in those days, you would put so much. Do you guys use Aquanet? Much.
Yeah, man.
Hairspray.
I don't know what it was. But yeah, that was.
In gel.
Sure.
I used to form my hair into
a lot more gel.
What it was going to look like. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like Max Headroom. Remember
it had
Max
this
Headroom?
Part that was like severe. Yeah. It was like very straight.
There even became a time when that became popular, and then like all these companies and brands started coming out with all these different types of gels, and then it became like who had the hardest gel.
Yes.
So you have all these.
They would like market the shit out of that to us, like in between cartoons.
I remember all my cousins, everyone was like comparing each other's, you know, gels that they had. Oh, this one right here is legit. If I'm gonna style like this, I'm gonna wear
rock
this
gel.
One.
That's fuck, true. Yeah, I eventually got my hands on, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like the consistency of glue. Like it was like that. It was like white, like glue.
Yeah.
Hella sticky. You put it in your hair and it was
like beeswax.
And the way, no, the way they tested it, it even said was like, your hair will hold in like 50 mile per hour winds. Like they, and it was legit. Like, like if you took a shower, like my hair would be so hard like when I go to take a shower,
water would just run off.
I'd have to add water and slowly like melt it, like get it back to where I could start to move
it's like concrete.
Yeah.
You guys remember that concrete
shit? I do. I blame it for why I have a hair loss. So I'm spraying all that Aquanet and all those chemicals in my hair. It's probably why I'm fucking going bald, dude.
It's like you're lighting fire to all the follicles.
Damn.
Oh, shit.
Did you guys end up working out today? Oh, you haven't worked out in a while, huh?
It's been almost, almost 2 weeks for me. I mean, I went falling off the ladder. Well, first went to Alaska. Then I come back, fall off the ladder, get sick. I'm like, man, I'm just like, you know,
I have to keep saying it's not a metaphor because it sounds like a metaphor.
It does sound like it, yeah. Let's get you back on that ladder, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just got to get back up on that ladder.
Just got to get back up on that ladder, son.
Literally fell off the top of a ladder on his back.
Oh, what an asshole move. Yeah. Fuck Justin and Taylor. They're sitting right there.
You know,
over there. I just like,
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you because here we are trying to build a YouTube channel, and we had a fucking viral video right there.
It was
nobody filmed.
That was the one.
We caught you on camera falling.
Oh god,
we just need like surveillance cameras.
How many people do you think stage those things though? I feel like so many.
All of them.
I feel like it's gotten. That's what sucks about.
Maybe we should do that.
No,
it's all of them.
We'll never do that.
You don't want to. You don't
want to
stage a fall.
Never.
Okay. What if we surprise?
Well, we
did.
You know what we did on the one on the for the commercial, right? When we.
When Justin.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did. We kind of didn't. You know what I'm saying? We kind of walked out. That was kind of improv a little bit.
yeah, that worked.
Yeah, so that wasn't like really planned, but I think that I don't think we'll ever have a message or a YouTube or a show that's like.
Yeah, it's
like
hard
that.
To like. Yeah, it's hard to fall like without like you know hard to like act it. Yeah, like it has to be real.
Yeah, because that's true. Because you don't want to.
I think
that's
a talent. I think
some people just gotta agree that I'm gonna fall, and then you have to like do it. It's gonna suck. You know?
So you're not working out because you fell off a ladder.
No, I've had a couple days where I last week I was starting to feel better. My back was, and then I was about to work out, and I said, I should give it one more day, because if anything, my ass, I typically push it too soon. So I'm like, when I think I want to come back in a situation like this, I've tried to train myself over years, one more day is not going to kill you to take a day off. So I took a day off, and then I ended up getting sick, and so I'm
not that sick.
Yeah, this is a...
You normally... Yeah, you don't have a middle.
I do not.
You're either fine or pneumonia.
Are you guys not like... if I get sick, dude, I am the biggest baby. I'm knocked out for 2 days straight. I don't want to move from my bed.
You are a little bit. Yeah, you're a little...
I have to power through it. I have kids, you know.
You are a little irritable. Justice. I can't be a little bitch. I have children.
Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, you get irritable when you're sick.
I do get
In fact, you're so irritable... But you're also a self-aware person.
Yeah, you vocalize it ahead of time. So there's warning behind the storm. But yeah, the storm is coming.
You'll be like, hey, listen, I'm irritable because I'm sick. Yeah. And then you'll say some shit. Right?
And then you'll let it really fly, right? Yeah.
That doesn't excuse you.
Oh, tell me what you really think.
You can't call me an
asshole. That's what Katrina says. Katrina always says, like, you know, just because you say it doesn't excuse you being an asshole.
It like ramps up.
I got to try that technique next time.
That's a good call.
Next time I'm having an argument, I'll be like, listen, honey. I'm going to be an asshole
some mean shit right now.
Here it comes.
It does soften the blow. It does work a little bit. It may not get you out completely, but it's like, at one point she'll go, well, you got to respect him for telling me.
He said it ahead of time.
He is aware of it.
Yeah.
And what about you? Did you work out today?
No, I haven't worked out today yet.
At all?
Not yet.
But you have
I'm
been.
Planning on it. Yeah.
What are you doing right now with your training? Are you still doing that?
So I'm mainly just focusing
you were
on
doing all the
unilateral
core
still. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So I just really have liked it. And like, and so I'm going to be pushing it a little bit too long, like sticking with unilateral training. But I think it's about time where I should kind of go back to barbell training.
I wonder if you could ever, this would be interesting. Like, let's say you could squat, let's say your max is 300 pounds. I wonder if you could ever get to the point where you could do half of that with one leg. I mean, it'd be very difficult because so much balance is, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
I mean, think about that. I could think about that. I used to get up to dumbbell presses almost as much as what I could max bench with.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if it's Mike Boyle who's talking about, like, that was like a point against the fact that he doesn't have people like backload their squats, but he would have people like load like 300-400 pound like Bulgarian like split squats. So it's like, he's like, it's not that we're like taking load away from you know, and like trying to increase our strength. It's just, you know, he's not doing it like particularly like through barbell training.
Maybe the problem is more in the sense that we're so not used to training unilaterally that there's a big learning curve in
that's
terms of the balance and stuff. And that's why you're like, oh, I'm losing performance, and it's because not necessarily because it's inferior, but more so because we just got to get past this point where you could get your balance and do it all
that's
right.
That's totally
which makes
it
a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I think from a mechanical point, there's so many benefits. You just, when you start doing unilateral work, it's so hard to cheat an exercise where I feel like it's really, not only is it really easy to cheat a barbell exercise, it's really hard sometimes to tell when you're off a little bit, where I feel like it's so obvious.
You can easily overpower and compensate, you know, on one side.
Right. Yeah. When you're trying to rip a barbell up, you know, the slightest bit of a shift, you know, or asymmetrical shift in my hips a little bit, like that could be the difference of my back getting thrown out like big time, you know, or causing like major imbalances over time from lifting that way. That
it almost makes sense to do a complete cycle of unilateral training. Like, in other words, let's say you're training a beginner, you want to start them off on you know, both arms, both legs at the same time, not on everything, but for the most part, because they have to build coordination, strength, all that stuff. Get them to a certain point where now they're comfortable doing squats and bench press and stuff, and then go to unilateral training for a whole cycle, learn the balance and strength there, move that up, and then go back and kind of go back and forth.
Now you got me thinking right now that this, Doug, either this would be a good series, or this would actually be a good program or guide to actually
create. A guide,
like,
a mod.
Yeah, like a mod to create, just like as a deload phase. That's where you go through all unilateral stuff. Because
it's like very beneficial. Yeah, if you want to kind of step out and like work your way through this and do a cycle, oh my God, you'll have massive carryover.
Well, I think so too. I think if we actually structure it, like, it actually put some thought into it, we could create a fucking really badass one. Because I'm thinking right now, that was one of the things that I've loved about, because I've been doing the same thing as Justin for a while now, and it's been fucking huge for me. And a lot of it is because of that, because I've been neglecting it so much, so I know that's obvious, but that also makes
But there's fucking value there.
Right. There's
nobody places any emphasis on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some...
Some coaches build their whole program and system around it, but it's not popular.
Well, it's like anything else, right? With, like, we talk about on the shows, like, some people attach themselves completely to it, and then they're like in the camp of everything should be unilateral. Yep. And then there's people who just totally neglect it completely, right? So I think there's something to be said about intermittently utilizing. Well, we've been saying that on the show forever, the importance of intermittently putting it in there, but maybe actually even structuring it to where you phase. If we're looking for someone for total overall just health, well-being, strong, perform all overall, like you just want to be a better human body, there's definitely, for sure, I think some value to running that for a couple months and then coming out of it.
See, here's the problem with this kind of stuff is that, and I know what it is because I fall for it a little bit myself, but definitely when I was younger, I would fall for it in the sense that when I knew, like, objectively, logically, like, okay, it would be smart if I were to train like this for a little while, like work on mobility or work on whatever. The thing that held me back was the fear of losing gains, or the fear that, okay, I know I should back off on my deadlift for a little while and focus on this movement, but then I'm going to lose strength on my max deadlift, which may be true in the short term. This is something that took me a long time to learn. Yeah, you may lose some gains because you go from all heavy barbell stuff to now a bunch of unilateral stuff, but when you go back to that barbell stuff, or in the longer, you know, term scheme of things, you build more muscle. You're actually better off.
I mean, I felt like that was a lot of what I tried to share over the last year on my Instagram and talking about that on this show, was that you watched me do this. Like, I stopped really heavy lifting and I put so much energy and focus on mobility. And I did. I took a step back. I mean, I wasn't still squatting 400-something pounds, but I'm right back there again, and I feel a million times better. Like, all the issues
more
that
supported,
I was...
Oh, wait. Balanced.
Yeah. And I mean, my squat depth and mechanics right now are way better.
It's so funny, like the old time strongmen and bodybuilders, even up until like Schwarzenegger era, they would do compared to bodybuilders now, way more cross training. Like Arnold and Franco both would incorporate cycles and phases of powerlifting, like a straight up like a powerlifter. They would incorporate dance, phases of body weight movement, ballet to help them with their posing, jogging. They would do phases of jogging to build those kind of
techniques. Yeah, they were very progressive with that.
And of course, modern bodybuilders, I think, can't do that because now they're just so massive and dysfunctional that it's just you can't do anything else.
Yeah,
right?
We glorify the dysfunction.
Yeah, but the average person building muscle and stuff, you're going to build muscle better if you do this kind of stuff. You take a break and say, because I would even, along those lines of the unilateral, phase, I've been talking about this with you, Justin, for a while now, is a whole phase on body weight.
Yeah.
Like do nothing but closed chain.
Totally.
You know, body weight type movements, get some rings and some
dip bars. And unilateral?
No.
Oh.
Like just as a separate phase.
Yeah. I was like, damn, dude. Yeah.
Just as a separate phase. Just as a separate phase. Which, by the way, I learned something the other day that made me feel extremely weak sauce. Do you know my girlfriend used to be able to do one-arm pull-ups?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Like a legit one-arm pull-up.
That's impressive. Holy shit.
That's what she said. but I mean, she doesn't lie, so the fuck out of here. That shit's hard. So along those lines. But I think having like phases like this where you kind of go drastically in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we phase our workouts anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we design our programs. But unilateral body weight training, I think doing a whole 2 weeks like that, then going back to your routine, you'll probably see.
Well, we always talked about this too when we created the programs about building mods, and that's why we have mods on some of them is to, you know, there's ways if you have a program that you appeal to more, whether it be green, black, red, whatever, white, and then you go, okay, well, I like that about it, but then I would like to add this to it.
Yeah, that's sort of home base.
Right.
And then you go venture off.
Yeah, right? So I think building a really sick mod.
What are your go-to exercises for each body part? For the unilateral stuff,
you know, so shoulder press stuff, I like to use a kettle, single arm kettle.
So one arm standing,
yeah, or flipped up, yeah,
right,
bottoms up,
right. So that's for my shoulders for sure. I'm doing that. I love a single leg deadlift for hamstring, glute, and then I love a Bulgarian split squat for my legs. Those are the main ones.
Do you do anything for like chest or back?
When I do chest, I'll mess around.
Alternate.
Yeah, with alternating dumbbell presses, and I'll do some work like that. I'll do this. I'll even incorporate like I was doing that with Rose the other day too. But the big ones are the ones I just named that I probably use the most.
Yeah, I do very similar. I mean, it's, you want to stick with sort of the basics, the Bulgarian squats and, you know, overhead press, like with single kettlebell. But I do a lot of carries and I do a lot of overhead carries and, you know, stuff like that where I'm doing suitcase carries and just, you know, sort of solidifying my stability as I'm walking with it like a farmer walk. I do some like bench pressing, like with one. I haven't done that in a really long time, but I did a few sets like that where I'd just take a dumbbell and I would lay in a bench and just do one arm at a time.
Now, did you have one in each hand or was it just one arm?
No, just one. So I'm really squeezing the shit out. Yeah, my core and obliques and everything just to keep me on the bench. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, I like another thing that I've done. I do this in my regular workout is I'll take dumbbells and rather than bringing them both down at the same time and both at the same time up, I'll come one down at a time and hold them, the other one up in the top position or reverse, bring them both down and keep one always in that bottom position. Do you do that as well?
Yeah, that's typically what I meant when I said alternate dumbbell press. Yeah. That's how I do it. So I see the biggest carryover, but I guess for me, chest is not a major focus for me, so I'd probably play around with that more if that was. The Bulgarian, messing with the Bulgarian and the single leg deadlift, those to me are
deadlift,
bit,
yeah, and also do like step ups too. That's where I get a lot of
I need to do more
transverse plane, and you know these planes are a little bit harder to get, you know, rotation and, you know, in the mix of my training. So yeah, I'll do some stuff like that where I'm rotating and then I'm stepping up. But yeah, more like step ups that are, you know, one leg focus.
Yeah, when I do unilateral stuff on my legs, man, and it's getting better. But man, I had such a discrepancy between the right and left, and it was just one just felt comfortable and the other one just fucking didn't at all, which tells me that there's a completely different connection going on here.
So this happened. This was me when I first started. There was a major discrepancy between the two for me. Well, it was the difference of this. Like when I did, I can't remember which side it was right now, but when I did, let's say my right side, I could easily rep out 10 reps and felt easy control, went right into the mechanics, balance, everything there. When I went to the right side, like I was off balance. I was struggling to stabilize. I could feel like I wasn't even, all my muscles weren't firing equally on that side. Eight, I was struggling. So there was a major difference on the two when I first started. That's actually why I loved the Bulgarian, because it caught them up really quick. I just made sure to always start with the weaker.
I was just going to ask you. weaker, so hit that number with the weak side.
Yep. And then I kept strengthening, you know, as far as that was my indicator on when I was ready to press up on weight. It's like, okay, I can get not many reps comfortably on that side. Now we can move up. And I just kept moving up that way. I moved up really quick. Every week that I revisited the Bulgarian squat, I was increasing the weight significantly and feeling good about it. I wasn't feeling like I was pushing it really
quick. Yeah, I think the strength is there. It's just a matter of, like, you know, getting everything organized and firing, you know, correctly, because it's like, you know, it's a different type of a skill, you know.
I don't think people realize or quite appreciate, even us sometimes we forget. I know we do because I forget all the time, just how much strength is a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Like think about this. You know, you could barbell squat 300 pounds, but you can't one-legged squat 150. It's not because you don't have the strength. You obviously do have the strength.
Right.
Yeah.
It's because you don't have the skill.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah. You just haven't established the skill of it yet. You haven't taught your body these mechanics.
No. And when you start to learn that skill, once you kind of get the idea of the skill and your body moves well, then you can really stress the muscle, which is why initially you get such crazy strength gains, because you're just getting better and better.
Unlocking it.
Yeah. You're unlocking it and getting better and better and better. And then do you guys see the translation when you go back to your?
Oh, totally. Oh. Yeah, like, you know, sitting, you know, at the bottom of your squat and like feeling super supported, and like I could get up, like I could sit there for a long time and I don't feel any like twinges or aches, or, you know, it's like sometimes it takes a little while to warm up to, you know, heavier load. And I feel like after doing Bulgarian squats, it's like, boom, I'm like, everything is just oiled and efficient.
So, because I know a lot of people listening right now are thinking to themselves, like, well, I do the you know, bilateral stuff, and then I always throw in some unilateral stuff at the end. So what's the difference? What's the difference that, sure, I do Bulgarian squats, you know, at the end of my workouts. Why do I need to do all my workouts or the whole workout unilateral? Like, what's the difference between the two? And is there a difference?
Well, I think it's just a matter of the what emphasis you're putting there, right? Like, if you're training strength and you've put a whole workout in, and then you go over and then you work on something like that, you're not going to get as much of the strength benefits in that movement as you would if it was a primary focus.
Agreed. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, it's not to say that that's wrong or you can't do that. That's 100%
you're just not going to make it the primary focus. You're not going to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Or as quick as you could.
And I think that if you're moving to a new adaptation like that, and you already know that you're going to get good bang for your buck because it is new, why not really get the most out of it? And
it's all about adaptation specificity. It's very specific to the stimulus, and this is why we phase our workouts, and we don't have all, you know, if you do three workouts a week, instead of doing phase one workout Monday, phase two workout Wednesday, we have you do phase one for 3 weeks, phase two for 3 weeks. This is one of those reasons, is that the way your body adapts is very, very specific.
Right.
And like you were saying, like if you do all your workouts for the next couple weeks,
you don't want competing signals.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to what you said, you know, even strength is a skill. It's a skill. And if I'm trying to treat it as a skill, then I want to make it a focus. And I don't want to do it for so long to where my body does get so used to it that it's not seeing the same results. But you got to get it somewhat comfortable and used to doing it for a while if you're going to see the maximum results from it. So
now, here, the other thing to consider too, we're talking about from a function strength, and then, you know, of course that translates into more muscle, weight or whatever. But bodybuilders have used unilateral movements for a very long time, but for very different reasons. Right. Like, they don't give a shit about, you know, how much weight they're moving necessarily or function, but they'll do unilateral movements because of the feel. Because they can sit there and isolate and squeeze and feel, you know, the muscle.
And they want to develop specific areas of their body.
And there's definitely some merit there, because I know when I'm doing like especially if it's a single joint movement, like a one-legged leg extension or a curl or a side lateral or whatever, when I'm doing that one side, that one body part, and I'm taking out the other one, for a correctional standpoint, it's awesome. But also for just isolating and squeezing and feeling something, it's great.
Oh, when you talk about sculpting the body, in my opinion, like, it's a must that there's unilateral work in there, because you are, there's so many little tiny muscles that you're trying to develop, that this is where this becomes different and unique, right? When other people are talking about just, and I know we've cracked on bodybuilding and how bodybuilders train a lot, but there is a lot of merit to some of the things that they do to sculpt the body. Where I think
nobody is connected to their muscles as bodybuilders,
right?
Period.
I think that where it gets mixed up is that, you know, the kid or the girl who's just getting started in the gym, you know, they don't want to be wasting their time doing some bent over, single arm, angled cable, you know, reverse fly to target their left rear delt, you know, and not incorporate their traps or their rhomboids. And so they're in this really fixed, isolated position because they need more rear delts, because that person is going to get way more bang for their buck working on the core lifts that we talk about. But if you're somebody who's advanced, you've been lifting for a long time, and you're into the sculpting the body, there's a lot of huge benefits to doing a lot of single arm isolated type movements. And I tell you what, being somebody who trained and competed at the professional level for men's physique and that look, I have a very different look right now in my physique than I did then. I don't look the same way because I don't lift the same way. Mm-hmm. I do way more than just a big gross motor movements. I barely ever do any of the auxiliary type touching exercises where I was heavily that way. And it's in the look, I describe it as bodybuilders that like train that way have this kind of bubbly like look, like every muscle,
juicy.
Every little muscle has a lot of, you know, shape to it because they've targeted every tiny little muscle. Where if you do a lot of the big compound lifts, you look dense and hard, but then you don't look as bubbly all the way around because you're not, a lot of times the big muscles are taking over the big motor movements like they should, and the tiny little isolators and stabilizing muscles are not getting a lot of extra work.
You know what else this is good for is when you're trying to get someone to recruit a muscle or to feel a muscle in another maybe compound movement. So an example would be, you know, I've done this before where I'll have a client do a bench press and they just don't feel their pecs. So I'll have them do like a one arm cable fly, bring it in, squeezing the shit out of the pecs, really connecting to the pec, doing a little bit on both sides, then bench pressing. And
so
now
you get the recruitment signal, the proper one there that you prime ahead of time, right? So yeah, that's just like emphasizing the need for that neural connection.
In fact, one of my favorite ways to superset on a body part is what I call a pre-exhaust superset, or actually I'm not the one that invented that term, but it's called a pre-exhaust superset, where you do an isolation movement for a muscle, really aim to feel it, burn it out, get it really, you know, like get it to fatigue, and then move to a compound movement that hits that muscle. Now you're not so worried about, you know, trying to feel that muscle, go through, do the exercise, and you want to talk about getting connected and getting a pump to that, you know, to that target area. It's crazy. You know, an example would be like a lateral to an overhead shoulder press, or like a fly to a bench press, or like a straight arm pull down to a pull up. Mm-hmm. Like you'll get, like the first time I ever was able to feel a pump in my lats, which by the way, that was the last area I ever felt in my body working out throughout the years. That was the area it took me the longest to finally get a pump, was my lats. But the way I did it was I isolated with straight arm pull downs, was able to squeeze and isolate my lats, went right to a pull up, got down, and for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, shit.
Like, oh, they contributed.
I have lats.
What do you know?
I have a pump inside my lats.
For sure.
Good stuff. Check this out. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Mind Pump TV. We post a new video every single day. Also, we have 30 days of coaching. It's for free. It's for everybody. It's at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.